Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to talk today about the Beatitude. The Church gives us the Beatitudes from the Gospel of Luke in today's Gospel. Before I go on, I just want to encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the program this week, to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. Listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. The best thing to do is just download the Ave Maria app and the Renewal Ministries app. It gives you direct access to listen to the programs, our programs we create at Renewal Ministries, and also the wonderful programs that are here on Ave Maria Radio, just to encourage you and listen to them when it's most convenient for you. So the Beatitudes, it's amazing. And you got the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew, which has a longer list of the Beatitudes. And then in Luke here, we have Beatitudes and woes, you know, things of mourning and crying out to God. So, you know, the Beatitudes are in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle is something that every one of us ought to be aware of and ought to value. I mean, Jesus is talking to us about what does it look like? What do the great commandments concretely look like? Maybe that's the way to say it. Or what is it that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us? What does he want us to be like? You know, and how does he want us to live? And how does he want us to walk out the life that we have as we seek to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves? And, you know, the Beatitudes really represent the life of the person of Jesus. You know, they're perfecting of the Ten Commandments, and they're the really who Jesus, what Jesus is like in many ways. So I want to talk about both Matthew's Beatitudes today and Luke's as well. So in Matthew, you know, Jesus basically lists them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness, they shall have their fill. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And then just as Jesus ends the Lucan account of the Beatitudes, Matthew has him saying, you know, and blessed are you, and this is the one that always surprises me the most, blessed are you when men revile you, when men persecute you, when you're rejected for my namesake. It's amazing. You're blessed. You're living a life that is conformed to the person of Christ, and it's so contrary to what we instinctively believe and hope for ourselves, even in this world. It's like the last thing we want to have happen to us is to somehow to be reviled, to be rejected by men, to be persecuted, and the rest. In fact, the Lucan account is particularly surprising, and it reads like this: blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. How to respond to that? Jesus then says, rejoice, leap for joy on that day. Wow. You talk about having a renewed mind. We have some distance to travel to get to where Jesus is, but it's important not to miss the point Jesus is making. He's not just talking about being hated or excluded or denounced for any reason. Like, I might behave in a way and treat people in a way that would cause people maybe to hate me or to exclude me or whatever. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's very clear. Blessed are you when people hate you and exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. On account of the Son of Man. That is, because of your identification with Jesus, because of your public, countercultural stand with Jesus and what Jesus teaches and what Jesus commands. If you're insulted and hated and excluded and falsely accused because of that, Jesus said, rejoice and leap for joy. Makes me think about 1 Peter, which we've talked about, you know, annually. We go through I reflect on some of the key passages there in 1 Peter, into that community that Peter's shepherding, those communities in Asia Minor, and some of them are under real persecution and under trial. Some are being martyred, and Peter's amazed at them. He said, because in the midst of trial, what he sees is that they rejoice and that their life, what's being manifested in their life, is their radical love for Jesus. He said, without even having seen him, you love him. And I sometimes imagine Peter is saying, look at their love. I saw Jesus. I touched him. I knew him personally. I saw him crucified. I saw him raised from the dead. I walked with him. And he's touched me so many times. And of course, Peter radically loved Jesus. But I think he's in part amazed at their love for Jesus without having ever physically seen him. And the Spirit of God is producing in them and giving them the grace to know and to love Jesus. And they're loving him in the midst of trial, in the midst of persecution, experiencing the very thing that Luke is talking about here. And they're actually rejoicing. And so they're living the Beatitudes. They're walking in the Beatitudes. And, you know, it's such a good reflection for us, friends, to say, well, these things don't sound all that attractive. They don't sound like things that, at least they don't seem very high in the discussion in society today, like things that really ought to be pursued and what the happy life looks like. And Jesus is saying, you know, part what he's saying here too, friends, is consider the long game. Blessed are those who mourn, for you will be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So these are promises that will be fulfilled. There'll be grace and blessing at some level in this world, but they come into their fulfillment for the disciple in this, after this short life that we know is going to be short. Scripture says life is short. It's a passing shadow. If I live to be 100, it's brief, you know, in light of eternity. And so Jesus is saying it's living this life that's going to lead you ultimately to win, if you want to put it in kind of modern terms. What kind of a life will lead you to the happiness and the fulfillment and the blessed life that your heart seeks? And Jesus said, these things will get you there. It's because it's the work of the Holy Spirit conforming us to the character, the disposition, and the mind and the life of Jesus. And ultimately, in summary, it's like we're going to inherit everything that belongs to him. People who look, another way to say it is people who look like Jesus, that is people who are living like him, who are praying like him, loving like him, walking out the first commandment, walking out the second commandment, you know, that's demonstrated here in these Beatitudes. And really in the whole Sermon on the Mount is a beautiful description of what the lifestyle of a disciple, the orientation to life that Jesus wants to reproduce in each and every one of us. Another unique thing here in Luke is the woes that follow. You know, first he's saying these things that I'm describing to you, meekness, those who weep in this world, those who are weeping for the right things, you know, weeping for seeing the condition, weeping for our own sin, you know, like the Psalms teach us, and many of the saints did, you know, blessed are those who weep. You know, one of the things they wept so deeply and profoundly over was a deep sadness over the sin-sick condition of their own hearts. And that's grace. I mean, Saint Francis wept so much for his sins and for the sins of the world, he like literally went blind. It's part of what was contributing to the problem that he ended up having in his life that caused him so much pain. And remember, Jesus wept over Jerusalem and the heart of God. That's one of the things that you see here, and the weeping that will be turned to laughter, will be turned to joy. It's talked about in the Old Testament, talked about in the Psalms, and Jesus is saying it again here. He's saying, I'm promised for those who weep and weep for the fallen condition of the human race, weep for the sins of the world, pray for those. He said, you may look in this world like you're last, like you're forgotten, but one day you will laugh. You sort of get the last laugh. In a certain way, right? Those who hunger and thirst will be satisfied, he said. And the poor, there's the reality of the physical poor, the economically poor, but the poverty of spirit, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, is to look to God for everything, to look to God now for everything, for the strength we need, for his will, for his direction, to walk in humility. And so Luke then goes and shifts from talking about the Beatitudes, the first part, and he goes on to say, "Behold, your reward will be great in heaven." That is, those who are persecuted, their reward will be great in heaven. He said, "For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way." And the prophets who were faithful to God, who are with God in heaven, were treated in the same way. So Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. Your reward will be great. We don't think about rewards too much. We just think, oh, heaven is the reward, and it's the same reward everybody gets. I don't think that's exactly what the scripture means, always Jesus means when he's talking about actual rewards. I mean, heaven is the ultimate reward. God is the ultimate reward. But Jesus is going to recognize, and in some way, he's going to reward, and scripture talks about it a lot. Jesus talks about it quite a bit. He's going to reward the behavior of people, the decisions that they made. He's going to honor them. You know, like Mary's crowned queen of heaven and earth, we said yesterday, and she's in that unique position. And the Lord's going to reward us according to our deeds and according to how we've responded to his call in our life. And so that's worth meditating on, just doing a word study sometime, looking in the Bible and talking about rewards. The saints have also commented on that at different times, and of course the catechism as well. "Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and you will weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way." It's like Jesus is reversing it. He's showing what the reverse of the Beatitudes, the life that he desires, really the life of heaven, the life of his people in this world. If you walk in the footsteps of Jesus, this world will not be your oyster. This will not be your prize. And the more you're conformed to Jesus, the more you're going to experience the kind of things that Jesus described. Especially in a culture like today, if you don't stand up and salute the things, you know, the virtue signaling, the things that the culture is insisting on, you're going to get rejected. If you stand for what Jesus taught, what the scriptures teach about human identity, about when life begins and when life ends and who's got the power over it, what Jesus says about marriage and family and God's creative purpose. Those are just a few of the things. If you stand for those, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be set out, set apart by others. And Jesus knows that. He said, but that's not a loss, that's a gain ultimately. But he also, Jesus speaks more about judgment than anybody. And these woes are warnings, and they're very serious warnings. If riches are your treasure, if to be filled now with the best of everything is your goal, if you're, you know, laughter, partying, ignoring the struggles of others and focusing on your own personal happiness. And he said, if this world speaks well of you at the end of the day, he said, be careful, because it treated the false prophets in this way. The false prophets were honored, but not the true prophets. They were rejected. The Lord is saying, be wise. Come and live my life in the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.